I'm glad to be here. Does anybody have an alarm clock? Okay. I arrived in Roanoke, Virginia. I tell people I'm from Roanoke, but I'm not from Roanoke. I tell them I'm between Roanoke and Blacksburg. And if you know where that's at, then I tell you where I'm really from, okay? But a little small town. The small town I'm from, 1,000. But I live 5 miles from that town, okay? But I met your pastor, I think, 2 years ago. I knew one of his teachers, Brother Keith Kaiser. Him and I coached together. And his wife had a big influence on one of my sons. And I was neighbors with him and a good man. And when he left this earth, God took a good man home to be with him. But I'm glad to be here. I'm a little bit nervous, you can tell, okay? So I'm a little bit nervous because I preach in the Philippines, and I know there's a veteran missionary here from Brazil, and you come back here and you feel like you're out of place. Why? Because God put your heart somewhere else. And I'm back here. Where's Daniel at? Daniel? Wakefield? Okay. He said he went to school with my son. Please do not hold that against me, okay? But he's Filipino, right? My son went to the Philippines when he was 4 years old. And we have to try to teach him English, not the Filipino language, okay? And but he's getting married on July the 22nd. That's not me, okay? Is that the new music here? Okay, I don't know. Okay, just joking. My son went to the Philippines when he was 4 years old. So he's getting married. That's the reason I'm back here. He's getting married July 22nd. And he's married a girl, and she's Filipina. But she was born in America. She was raised in America. She's an American. I mean, she looks like a Filipino, but she's American. My son looks like an American, but he's Filipino. And they're going to move to the Philippines. And so she's going to have a culture shock, okay? My son's going to have to teach her the language, okay? And all the culture. Somebody asked me, they said, have you eaten dog? Filipinos eat dog. And they said, have you eaten dog? I said, I don't think so, okay? I don't know. I went to parties and stuff, and I said, what's that? And they won't tell me what it is, okay? And so I just don't eat it, okay? But how many have ever eaten dog? You've eaten dog? I don't like dog, okay? Anybody have eaten cat? No, okay? But I'm glad to be here tonight. We've been in the Philippines for 19 years. And you know, when we left America, boy, when you surrender your life to do whatever God wants you to do, most time we don't do it because of the sacrifice. Because of the sacrifice, that keeps us from surrendering. Because we don't think we can sacrifice. You sacrifice your relatives. You sacrifice your kids growing up in a foreign country. They don't get to enjoy the opportunities. In America, they don't get to be around their relatives. And you think of that sacrifice. But we've been on the field for 20 years, and we look back, it's not a sacrifice. Serving God, you may have to make some sacrifice, but it's not a sacrifice. So don't be afraid to serve God, because it is not a sacrifice. When you look back, it's a privilege. Are you listening? It's an honor. So don't feel sorry for me. I feel sorry for you, okay? I don't think I could pastor in America. And I'm glad where God put us. So we went to the Philippines, and it was a different country. When I went to the city, I said, Lord, this cannot be where you want us to be. Maybe I made a mistake. My wife cried for a couple of days. She didn't want to be there. I wanted to cry. And after about 3 or 4 days, God put our heart in General Santos City, Philippines. You say, where's that at? We're on the southern island, Mindanao. We're on the most southern part of that island. Most southern island? The most southern part of that island. We're on the very bottom. We're as far south as you can get. I've been a southerner all my life. Amen? How many of you southerners? The rest of it, we'll pray for you too, okay? We're trying to convert you, okay? They're trying to convert you. But you know, just in a moment, I'm going to show you just a little video. We just put this together about a week before I come, just to show you a few things. If you go to our website, you can see our ministry. I ask you to take one of our prayer cards and pray for us. I know people are praying for us because of the things the Lord's been doing. But you can take a look at our website, and you can see more of our ministry. I don't come back to America. I'm only going to be here for about a month. But I don't come back to America so I can tell people what we're doing. And if I tell you what we're doing, it's to inspire you to do more right where you're at. Why should you give money for missionary to reach the world, but you don't even reach your neighbors right around you? And by the way, your money does not pay for your disobedience. Hell is waiting for the lost and every person around you. And when they die and go to hell, you can cry every day, but you can't help them. You can help them now. You say, they won't listen. I know they won't listen. You know why they don't listen? Because you don't talk. The gospel still works. You're listening to the devil, and the devil tells you it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Yes, it does. It worked in the book of Acts. It worked 100 years ago, 200 years ago. It worked last month, and it'll work tomorrow. Amen? Let's keep giving the gospel. I wish we could get on a plane, and you could fly to Manila, and then fly down to down the islands at the very bottom, and just see some things. I don't tell people half what's happening, honestly. I don't tell them half because they'd be discouraged. We went there and started a Bible study, and God's just blessed our church and blessed our church and blessed our church. We don't have big days. We can't have big days. We don't have no room. We just had a small building. I've had this philosophy. If we'll get the people, God will give us the place. That's my belief. If I'll get the people, God will give us the place. And we had a small building. My pastor said it's a chicken coop. You wouldn't even put your chickens in there. And then we added onto it, and then we expanded it again, and then we expanded it again. Last time we just tore it down and built another one. And now we're out of room again. Out of room again. But I say this, we're not trying to build a big church. Because when you try to build a bigger church, you got bigger problems. We're not trying to, honestly. We have about 850,000 people in our city. We're not trying to build a big church, but we are trying to reach a big city. Our goal is to reach that city for Christ. I don't have to do it all, just help other people do it. So as you see this thing, let God work in your heart. I'm not trying to get you a burden for missions. I'm trying to get you a burden. Your mission, this is America's a mission field. Everywhere you want to go. They may be a little bit harder, but we can reach them for the Lord. So this time I'll show a short video, just a little bit of what's going on, and maybe the Lord will work in your heart. Welcome to General Santos, Philippines. My family and I left the States almost 20 years ago to come here to give the gospel to as many Filipinos as possible. And we're still doing that today, but in a greater capacity. And God's blessed us, and our goal is to reach not only reach the city, but the surrounding areas and villages, so they can have the same opportunity that you and I've had to be saved. In the next few minutes, I want us to show you just a glimpse of what God has been doing in our ministry here. And I pray that it will motivate you to just get a greater burden, even where you're at, to reach people with the gospel. Amen. If you saw that family, the last family that was walking, they have nothing. Literally nothing. That lady pushes a cart. She pushes a cart. She probably makes a dollar a day, $2 a day. She was about a year and a half ago. She was pushing a cart. And my daughter that went to the Philippines when she was 6 years old gave her a track witnessed to her and led her to Christ. Her and her husband and kids have been coming for the last year and a half. I'm glad somebody cared for her. The world will not care for them, but God cares for them, and we ought to care for them. I could tell you stories after stories after stories as people come to Christ. If you went to their house, you wouldn't even let your dog live there. But they may have nothing here, but they have a mansion up there. Amen. Anybody have a question? Anybody have a question? Let me say this first of all. I want to thank the church here for helping us with Bibles. Our greatest need is Bibles and tracts. People say, you need money? I don't need money. I need Bibles and tracts. Bibles and tracts. We have a pastor's conference every year. And we have about 300 pastors that come. Some of them from the mountains. They don't have Bibles. They don't have tracts. They don't have music. They don't have Sunday school lessons. So we help them with that. They come to him, Pastor, you have Bibles. You have Bibles. Some of them say, we don't have Bibles, so we have to leave our Bibles at church so the members can come and read the Bible at church. So I want to thank you for helping us with the Bibles. And we just had a container of Bibles that came in about 2 weeks ago. And I just arrived on Thursday night in Roanoke. So I'm going back the last of July. But we give those Bibles in John and Romans to those nationals so they'll have tools to reach their people. You know, if you don't have the tools, you can do something without tools. But you can do a better job if you have tools. A carpenter can do work without tools. But he can do a better work with tools. And that's my burden. I want to help Filipino pastors that have nothing to do with me. Because if I can give them the material, I had a part. Are you listening? I had a part. I don't have to do all the work. I had a little part. So I want to thank you for helping us and sacrificing with that. Anybody have a question real quick? We were told not to go where we're at. If you send your pastor to come and visit us, they'll tell you not to come there. They'll tell you not to come. But my family and I have been there 20 years. And one night we was out visiting, 5 bombs went off every 5 minutes. And for a number of years, we thought we'd have to leave. We thought we was going to have to leave. So I built my church like, if I have to leave, they can take it. We're self-supported. It's amazing. Our church is helping other churches. We're helping other churches maybe put a roof on their building or expand their building. You know what? God's taking care of our building. If you'll take care of God's business, he'll take care of your business. Now, you may just telling you. You don't believe that? Try it. You may be a businessman. Take care of God's business so you don't have to worry about your business. Amen? And so we're helping other churches, and God's just blessed our church and blessed our church, and we just built a gymnasium. We just built a gymnasium. It's an outside, and our people built it. If I build it, it belongs to me, and it's the Americans. But when they build it, it's theirs. Somebody asked me, oh, Pastor, we want to help you with the building. No, our people will take care of it. And God has blessed our people. When we first went there, nobody had a vehicle. You're looking at our church on a Sunday morning, there'll be 40 or 50 vehicles now. They learn to give, and when you give, God gives. You say, I don't believe that. We've never tried it. You've never believed God. But you can't outgive God. Try it. Keep trying it. And so, God's blessed our church. But the Muslims, I can't go outside the city at night. I do visit at night because that's when people are home. That's when I visit them. And so we've had to be careful. And I've always been concerned about my kids. But God's protected us. Okay, another question. Anybody else have a question about anything? Okay, maybe not anything, but maybe one more. Yes. Catholic. If you have Catholic friends or relatives, don't correct their doctrine, because people have right doctrine and they're still lost. God didn't say go correct people. Give them the gospel, and when they get saved, little by little, their doctrine will change. And sometimes we think we prove them wrong, we'll get them saved. No, the Bible didn't say that. The Bible didn't say go prove people wrong or go debate people. It says go give the gospel to people. So it's probably 85%, but there's a lot of Muslims too. And the Muslims want our island, but God wants our island also. Okay, maybe one more question. Okay, that's it. Turn your Bible just a moment to Acts real quick. One thing about the Philippines, you don't have to wear a tie. Okay? I had to learn to wear a tie this morning. I forgot how to tie my tie. Okay? You see the thing that's called a barong, and I tried to wear a tie when I first went there. It is so hot. I mean, it's hot all the time. It rains sometime in the Philippines. Oh, it's cold. I said, it's never been cold in the Philippines. It's never. It's cold. How many of you heard about this before? There was this guy. There was this Catholic, Baptist, and a charismatic. How many know what a charismatic is? Okay, I'll say, okay, here's a Catholic, Baptist, and they were talking about offerings. And you probably heard this story, but I'll tell you anyway. This Catholic says, this is what I do. He said, I take up the offering, tell people to give, and they give. And then what I do, I draw a circle about like this, and I throw up that offering. And whatever comes down inside that circle is mine, and everything outside of it's God's. Well, the Baptist said, that's nothing. I draw a big old circle, big circle. I mean, I have a big old circle. And I take up the offering, and I throw it up, and whatever comes down in that big circle is mine. And everything outside the circle is God's. Well, the charismatic said, I do something different. I tell people, if you give, you'll never have any problems. You give, you'll be rich. You give, you'll be going to heaven. And I take a big old offering. And I get that offering. I got all that money in it, and I throw it up as far as I can, almost to the sky. Almost to heaven. And that money's going up everywhere. And I say, God, whatever you want, you keep. And whatever comes down is mine. I don't know if it happens or not, okay? But look in Acts real quick. Acts chapter 9. Pray for us. We have a Bible Institute. And we hadn't opened it up. We got about 10 students outside of our Bible, outside of our church. It's from one of our churches that we started. We started 5 churches. We need to start more. But I'm not going to push somebody out to start a church just to start a church, because it destroys that person's family and everything. So I'm not trying to push them out. But we started 5 churches. But we have a Bible Institute. We have about 80 in our Bible Institute. 70 of them are from our church. And we have you saw our youth. That's just our teenagers. We took about 160 teenagers to camp from our church. There's about 650 teenagers there, and many of them surrendered to the Lord. And we've had the youth camp for about 14 years, and people surrendering, but there's no Bible college for them to go. So God used the camp to burden my heart to start a Bible college. And there's a guy named Bob Tivolt, a veteran missionary. He's going to help me. He's going to basically do it, because it's hard for me to do the church and the college. So pray. It's going to be a lot of work, but you know what? If God's in it, God will help us. And we don't do things because it's easy. And I don't just want to start a Bible college because it's hard. And so pray for us that we'll do the right thing and train guys from other villages and other towns, and they'll come and get trained, and we'll send them back. We'll send them back. And we want to start more churches even in our town. You say, why? Because I don't want everybody to come to my church. We have a church maybe 3 miles here and 3 miles here, and the ones I don't like, you go to that church, and the other ones I don't like, you go to that church. They think I'm starting those churches because I have a burden. Yeah, I have a burden to get those people out of my church. Okay? But pray for that too, and pray that we'll stay on course. Stay on course. You know, it's easy to start out right, but let's stay keeping right. Amen? By the way, when people get saved, we tell them to get in church, stay in your Bible, get the sins out of your life. You know why people don't serve God? Because their life is full of sin. But when you want to live in sin, you have a good lot of reasons, a lot of justification of that sin. Are you listening? If something's right, you don't have to justify it. If everybody does it, it's still wrong. Right and wrong never changes. Because God's word doesn't change. And this is determination of what's right and wrong. Look at Acts chapter number 9 real quick. Let me have you stand at this time. Real quick. Acts chapter number 9. I'm going to read 2 verses. Look at verse number 5. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." In verse number 6, "And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." And I want to preach on tonight, just for the next, I think you said be done by 8:30. I'm not sure, okay? No, just joking, okay? Some of you just woke up. Real quick. I want to speak on who comes before what. Because he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I'm Jesus." And he is Lord, amen? And the more you read the Bible, you realize who Jesus is. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you bless you tonight. Thank you for this church. Thank you for their burden, not only for the world, but they have a burden for people in this area. And they're reaching people in this area. Help us to stay balanced in our Christian lives. And I pray, Lord, that you'd honor the message tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Twenty years ago, I went to the Philippines. No regrets. You'll never regret serving God. But you'll regret when you get out of church. And you'll regret that you didn't serve God. And I'll say this, Mom and Dad, you may make it out of church, but your children won't make it. We went there, have no regrets. But you know what? I grew up in a little town, Shawlsville, Virginia. Population 1,000. Lived 5 miles from that town. I grew up on a dairy farm. We milk cows. Thank God I'm not a dairy farmer. I'm glad I'm a missionary. I'm glad I'm not a dairy farmer, okay? That's 7 days a week. Every morning, every night. If electricity goes off, doesn't matter. Those cows don't care. And I grew up on that dairy farm. We had water guns before they ever sold them in the stores. Me and my brothers used to get in trouble all the time with my dad, okay? We'd have milk fights, not water fights. I grew up on a dairy farm. There was a little Baptist church, Southwest Chapel Baptist Church. One time there was a guy by the name of Jim Sutphin. He pastored that church, and it was a little church. Thank God for little churches. And most of you got saved in little churches. Amen? God doesn't need anything big.
He can use big things, but he uses a lot of little things too. You go to the Bible, God doesn't use big things. He used a lad to kill Goliath. He wanted to feed 5,000. He didn't get a big shot. He got a little lad. God uses little things. That church, a fellow by the name of Randy Willis, invited my brother to the church. The greatest invitation that's ever taken place. And my brother went to church, didn't get saved the first week, came back the next week. Preacher preached the gospel. Just as I am, he came and got saved. He began to pray for his little brothers. I'm one of those little brothers. But I didn't get saved until later. My dad, they kept praying for my dad. Revival. Lester Wirtz was preaching a revival. Gospel Baptist Church in Salem, Virginia. He was preaching that little church. And my brother, my dad got saved that night. 10 months later, my dad was killed. I was 14 years old. We got out of church. My mom remarried. I was 15. My brother was 14. My other brother was 20. We ran that dairy farm. My mom moved out of our house. I had no uncle, no cousin, no grandparent. Me and my three brothers lived on that dairy farm from the age of 15 until I was 19. And when I was 19 years old, I got saved. And then I went off to Bible college. I was saved 2.5 months, and I went to Bible college. I've been messed up ever since. You talking about a shock to your system. I thought I was in purgatory. I'm serious. Can you imagine only being saved, and you go to Oklahoma Baptist College? But God moved me out of the situation. And now I get to serve God. We said, why'd you say that? If God can use my life, and I won't go into how sinful I was. I don't think you ought to glorify your past. I don't think you should. A new convert asked me the other day, this guy's got a messed up life. I mean, he's got a messed up life. I don't know how many people he's killed. He went soul winning with me the other day. I thought, man, I better watch myself. I better be nice to this guy. And I wasn't afraid of him. I wasn't fearful of him. I was fearful of people that knew him. And he said, Pastor, tell me about your past. I said, what? Tell me about your past. I said, I don't have no past. It's all gone. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying this. If God can use me, he can use every person that's here. They never believed that the Apostle Paul, they didn't believe that he'd get saved. Even after he got converted, Ananias didn't believe it. And some of you got saved, and people don't even believe you got saved. And your life has changed. Now you go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and I hope you go Wednesday night too. And you tithe. And you give the missions. People can't believe what happened to you. Why? Just like Saul got saved. Same thing happened in your life. I want you to see first thing. Look at this real quick. Paul's life changed. He went from trust in himself to trust in God. Faith in the law to faith in the grace of God. Things passed away in his life. Good things came in. You know why? When the bad goes out, good things come in, amen? You know why good things don't come in? Because we're not willing to get the bad things out. Get the worldliness out of your life. Worldly Christians don't serve God. And if they do, they don't serve him very long. Amen? They don't serve him very long. First thing I want you to see is this. Who art thou, Lord? Who comes first? A light shines from heaven. A voice from heaven. A light shines. And heaven got his attention. Did you know what? When heaven gets somebody's attention, they take notice. And that's what we need today. I don't need the world's help. I don't need the carnal's help. I need heaven's help. We brought so much stuff in our churches. And you know what? You know why people, you know why churches bring things in? They shouldn't. Because they remove prayer and Bible reading and preaching and the right kind of singing. And when you don't have the right things, the wrong things begin to come in. Amen? And sometimes we need to open the door and kick out the things of the world and say, God, you're welcome again. Because if God's not there, you can do all you want and it may look good. But if God's not doing it, it doesn't last. Sometimes you'll have a revival and you think nothing happened. But a month or 6 months later, you see the results. When God works, you don't see it immediately. You see it later. God got his attention. Only heaven could convince Saul. Nobody else could. There was a man in our church. I met his wife and family about 4 years ago. Knocked on their door. See, in the Philippines, my name's changed from Doug to Douglas because they can't say Doug. And I say my name is Doug. Doug, dog, dog, dog. I'm not a dog. You think it's funny, it's not. You like people call you a dog, okay? And so I said my name is Douglas. But that's good because I tell them I'm like Douglas MacArthur. I knock on their door. I'm Pastor Douglas, just like Douglas MacArthur. I shall return. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. And by the way, if I say anything we built our church on, is follow up, follow up, follow up, follow up. If that person's truly saved. By the way, you know the best prospects is relatives of people that come to your church. There's enough people to follow up. And I believe if they're truly saved, God's going to work in their life. One of the best associate pastors I have in my church took me 2 years to get him baptized. I was ready to give up after about 6 months. I said, Lord, if he doesn't, I'm not going back. But God kept telling me, keep going back. He's one of the best associate pastors I have now, about 56 years old. I knocked on this door, went in the house. I said, sir, what's your name? He said, my name is Daniel Saavedra. And your son's name? Francis Daniel. And your other son? John Daniel. What? Daniel, Daniel, Daniel. And your daughter? Don't tell me. Danielle. And guess who my soul winning partner was that night? A guy in our Bible college by the name of Daniel. Isn't that amazing? I talked to them about the Lord a little bit. And the young man said, Pastor, he was about 15 years old. But I think he was about 14 years old at the time. He said, Pastor, how do I get saved? I witnessed to him a little bit. I said, You come tomorrow, and I'll have youth director talk to you. He got saved. He coming out of the gate. He said, Pastor, what I do next? I said, you need to get baptized. Next week he came, got baptized. He comes out of the gate. He said, what do I do now? I said, get in your Bible, stay in church. And now he's in our Bible Institute. But the mother said, Pastor, can you keep coming and visiting our church? I mean, visit our house? I said, yes, ma'am. If I find people that have a burden for their family, that creates a burden in my heart. Pastor, it's hard for you to get a burden for the relatives of your members when those members don't have a burden. Is that true?
But when somebody's got a burden, they say, "Pastor, pray for my dad. My dad's going to hell." And a young person gets a burden, I'll tell you what, it'll do something to your heart. I said, "Well, I'm going to keep going back." And I went back. Their dad came to church for about 3 years, about once a month, but he never would get saved. May last year, maybe in June or June, he owned a motorcycle. And his motorcycle just turned over. And he's like paralyzed. He can't even use it now. He can't even use his shoulder. But in August, he got saved. Why? God got his attention. And if you and I work, God will get his attention. Heaven, a light and a voice, got his attention. Did you know this? We don't have to do the work. God does the work. Who art thou? Some other people say, "What, Lord, what do you want me to do?" No, you don't even know the Lord yet. And when you know the Lord, the rest of your life you'll be saying, "What, what, 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 what?" The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And the Bible says if you're saved, you obey God's commands. We know what God wants us to do. Well, I don't know what God wants. Yes, you do. We know what's right. The next thing he said, "What will thou have me to do?" Why? Because he found out who Jesus was. He found out he was a son of God. He's a savior. He's the only hope. And after he got saved, he said, "What? What will thou have me to do?" You know what people do? You know why a lot of people don't do what God would tell them to do? I don't believe I've ever been saved. Because when I got saved, God changed my life. Sometimes we think people backslidden. They're not backslidden. Sometimes they've never been saved. Are you listening? I'm not saying if they backslidden, they're not saved, but I'm saying a lot of times they've never been saved. And by the way, if you're living in sin and there's no correction, I don't believe you're saved. By the way, you know God uses two P's to correct us. Huh? God uses two P's to correct your life. You do wrong and God's got two P's for you. You say, what is it? First one is problems. Problems will correct you. Sometimes you have problems in your life and you go through the valley, you say, "God, whatever you want, it's not worth it. Get this sin out of my life. I can't take it. The problem's too big." God uses problems to correct us, yes or no? How many have been corrected with problems? Just me? God uses what? Problems. And the other P that God uses is preaching. You say, "I don't want the preaching." That's no problem. God said you can just have the problems. I don't know about you. I'd rather be corrected by the preaching. I'd rather hear the preaching. I'd rather hear what's right and wrong. And I'd rather have a preacher preach. I mean, when I got saved, my preacher, but he preached against everything. Now we don't preach against anything. We're afraid. Why? Because we're dealing with lost people and we're dealing with carnal people. God will use preaching or problems. When you hear the preaching, you ought to say, "Dear God, correct me through the preaching. I don't want the problems. Oh, I'm not going to have no preacher." Do what you want to. "I'm not going to listen to what the preacher said." Don't have to. I guarantee you, God will get your attention with the problems. And if it doesn't, he'll send a bigger problem. Yes or no? But he said, "What would thou have me to do?" In verse number 6. I'll tell you, he wants you to grow. He wants you to grow.
Grow in grace. Grow. Why? If you don't grow, you'll never bear fruit. I follow up a lot of people in our church. They get saved. I follow them up and I follow them up and I follow them up and I follow them up. Why? Because if I can grow a new believer and keep him in church and keep him serving the Lord, guess what? He's going to bear fruit. A tomato plant that never grows, there better never be any fruit. Are you bearing fruit? Maybe you're not growing. God wants you to grow. He wants you to grow. He wants you to forsake the old things. What would that have me to do? Forsake the old things, old doctrines, old beliefs that are not biblical. We don't have to be like everybody else. Baptists have never been people that had to be like everybody else. Why do we need to do it now? God will still bless our Baptist churches. You know, I probably have it here too, Pastor. Some people, they're Baptists, but they take the name Baptist off. I'm glad they did. Thank God they did. I wouldn't want anybody to think they were Baptists. Amen? I'll tell you this, the Catholics are not afraid to be called Catholics. The Mormons, they put the Mormons on it. Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But Baptists, why should we be ashamed to be called a Baptist? Amen? This guy said to me one time, he said, Pastor, you have to be a Baptist to go to heaven? I said, no. He said, you can go to heaven without being a Baptist? I said, yes, sir. Really? I said, yes, sir. But I said, you'll be one when you get there. Amen? I believe that. I believe that. Because I believe the Baptist is the closest thing to the Word of God. We're not right about everything. We think we are, but we're not. What would that have me to do? If you're saved, you ought to grow. You ought to forsake the old life. That guy was telling you his name was Renard. I said, Renard, you need to quit your drinking. But I didn't tell him to his face. I told him in my preaching. I said, you need to quit your smoking. But I didn't tell him in his face. I told him in my preaching. He went soul winning the other day and he said, Pastor, can we go see my uncle? Pastor, can you go see my dad? This guy was a police officer and I think he was a hitman. He just got saved 3 months ago. Been going soul winning with me. He knows more sinners than I've ever met in my life. He's taking me a place. I said, sir, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going there. Forget about it. I'm not going there. You know this? Sin is our enemy. You ought to hate it. If you don't hate it, you'll try it. What would that have me to do? If you're saved, you ought to tithe. We teach our people to tithe. Some of our people make $5 a day. Some of them make $10, some of them make more, $5 a day. We teach them to tithe. The tithe belongs to the Lord. If you're in financial trouble and you don't tithe, you'll never get out. See, if you'll tithe, God will take care of your needs. I'm not going to say you're going to be rich, but I'll tell you this. You may not be rich if you tithe, but you're going to be obedient. You'll be obedient. We teach our people to tithe. We teach them to give the missions. We teach them to give them to our building fund. You say, Pastor, they're poor. Are you afraid are you kind of embarrassed to tell them to give? No. I tell them, I'm not afraid to tell you to give. Why? Because I've given my life to the Philippines. My wife has given her life to the Philippines. My kids give their life to the Philippines. It's a lot easier to give money than to give your life. We teach them to tithe. We haven't built our work on American money. It's theirs. God can bless the Filipinos just like he blesses Americans. They don't have much.
But they have a faith, and they have a love for God. By the way, the lack of money is not the problem in ministry. It's the lack of laborers. That's where the problem is. It's a lack of laborers. And the last thing, I'm done. What would that have me to do? Give out the gospel. Give out the gospel. Go into all the world. That command hasn't changed. If nobody does it, it still hadn't changed. There is an alternative of giving out the gospel. There is an alternative. You say, what's that? Disobedience. And I'm not trying to be mean. You say, I don't know how to talk to people. Just give them tracts. I don't know how to talk to them. Tell them what happened to you. Just give them a tract. There's a man I used to work with at Roanoke Electric Steel. I worked there for 1 year. His name was David Womack. I gave him a tract and I witnessed to him years ago. About 39 years ago. David Womack is serving the Lord today in a good Baptist church in that area. I didn't do anything. It's not what we do, it's what God does. They may not listen to you, but they'll read a tract. They'll read a tract. We ought to give out the gospel. Give out the gospel. Give out the gospel. In March, I went by a house. I knocked on the door. I knocked on this door, and I met this guy, and he told me where he lived, and I went to visit him. He wasn't there, so I went to the next door. That's what this is a good habit. If you go to a door, and this guy's not home, go to the neighbor. I said, I come by to see Bebo and Susan. You know where they're at? No. Okay. I think they're gone. They're going to be gone for 2 or 3 days. Okay. He's not there. So I go to the next one. Do you know where B-Bolt and Susan's at? I already know they're not coming back. I'm not looking for them. I'm looking for this door. When I go back, I got 3 different prospects now. Sometimes I'm glad when I can't find the right address. Now, I get impatient, but sometimes it's good when I don't find it. You know why? Because I meet other people. And then I come back later. You know this? We ought to give out the gospel. I'll tell you this story and I'm finished. I think it was about 10 years ago. There was a guy named Romy. I went by his house, wouldn't listen. Went back about 6 months later, wouldn't listen. Went back again, wouldn't listen. But then a few months went past by, and his cousin said, Pastor, can you go see Bobby? He's been asking questions. See, don't worry about people. God will deal with them. Are you listening? God will deal with them. Went by to visit him. He came that morning, got saved. He was a diabetic, and he had one leg. His right leg was taken off. But I had another guy in my church. His name was Emmanuel. He had his left leg taken off. So I took a picture one day. I said, 2 legs, 2 men. And I said, you know what, fellas? You got a right leg. He got a left leg. Next time you go buy shoes, you go together. You'll get it half price. And they just laughed. Romy got sick, and I began to visit him at his house. I'm glad he got saved. He couldn't come to church, and he'd say, honey, to his wife, can you write down what the pastor preaches on? And then tell me when you come home. This guy was difficult. Can you bring the Sunday school lesson? He got sick, and I visited him. One night, about 11 o'clock at night, his wife called and said, Pastor, Romy just died. I went to the house, went up on the steps and the porch, went through the house and went up some stairs to the second floor. Bobby was laying there in the bed and they'd covered his head. I prayed for her. I left that house that night. And I said, "Dear God, help me to find some more Romies. People will listen to gospel if we give it out. We think, oh, they're too difficult. If God can save me, He can save them. If God can save some of you, He can save people you don't think will get saved. If God can save the Apostle Paul, Saul, he said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I'm Jesus.' And when he got saved, he said, 'What?' And after you get saved, the rest of your life ought to be saying, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?'" I tell you, the greatest thing he wants you to do is to give out the gospel. You may give your money to missions, but you ought to be a missionary right where you're at. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to turn it over to the pastor. Dear Lord, I pray tonight that we'd be like the Apostle Paul and say, "What do you want us to do, Lord?" I thank you for this church and their vision. Thank you for their pastor. Thank you for these dear people. But dear God, there's lost people all around us that will perish for all eternity. Help us to keep our eyes on the field, even if nobody else does. Help us to keep our eyes on the field and keep reaching people with the gospel. Work in this invitation here tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. I wonder tonight, do you know the Lord as your Savior? Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you on your way to heaven? Are you born again? If not, I want to give you an opportunity to come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Along with that, let me ask this question. As soon as they get prepared, they can begin to play through softly. How many of you all have unsaved family members? Would you raise your hand? You have unsaved family? Yes. How many of you have unsaved associates? I'm talking about these are folks that maybe you work with, folks that you're just associated with. Would you raise your hand? Yes. What about unsaved neighbors? Would you raise your hand? Yes. See, God's in this. The Lord's in this. Do you understand that these folks have somebody from Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church who knows the gospel in their life? God has put you in their life. And as we think about our Jerusalem, where we ought to put the gospel in every house as a church, I'm trying to burden this church to put the gospel into our own Jerusalem. Amazing how this message goes right along with that, right? We've been talking about this all day long. And I think it'd be good for many to just come and get on their face on behalf of their friends, on behalf of their relatives, on behalf of their associates, on behalf of their neighbors, and say, "God, give me a fresh burden. Give me a fresh burden. And help me not to be fearful anymore, but give me holy boldness." I'm going to pray, and if God is using this in your life and you want to come and pray for your family members, your friends, your relatives, your associates, your neighbor, you come. If you need to be saved tonight, you come. And as a church family, may we get on fire for this. Father, bless and use it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. Why don't you come now and say, "God, give me this burden. Give me the burden that you have for my friends. You give me the burden that you have for my relatives. You give me the burden that you have for my associates. You give me the burden that you have for my neighbors. And help us to reach our Jerusalem." God's working in this, no doubt about it. Brother Gary sings, "You Come." Would you do it?
Have thine own way, Lord.
Come on, many have responded. You come now. Obey the Lord. Just obey the Lord.
Hold o'er my being.
You may be the only one praying for that friend. You may be the only one praying for that relative. You may be the only one praying for that associate. You may be the only one praying for that neighbor. God wants you to go to them. May the Lord help us with this. May God help us with this. No doubt about it.
Christ only, always. have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after
you can look this way. We'll close in just a moment with a prayer meeting for our teen camp. This is Daniel and Molly Martin. You can just stay seated there. Miss Charlotte's with you. And they've been coming for a long, long time. And they've been saved. They've been both baptized. They've read the bylaws. They agree to submit to it. They've signed to do so. They want to become members of this church and get involved here. And that is so exciting to me. So they're coming by statement. And we're so thrilled about this. Excited when folks unite with us as members. And we're excited about this young couple. God's blessing them. And we are thrilled to have them at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. God bless you. What's the pleasure of the church that we accept them by statement? Brother Marty, Brother Scott, all members who are in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carry. I like that. That's very good. We've got a gift for you under here. If you'll just stay right there, our folks, I know many of them want to come by and shake your hand, and we're thrilled to have you here with us. If you're happy they're joining tonight, would you say amen? Isn't that good? And we're excited about this. Let me have all the teenagers and your families who are going to the Wilds. I know the families are not going, the teens are, but if you'll gather up here just for a moment, and this will be our closing prayer. We're going to have a special prayer for these teenagers. They're going to be hearing Dr. Jim Shetler all week long, and I'm excited about that. We've been trying to get Dr. Shetler here, and so pray that we can get him here. Hopefully in the next year or so, we're looking to do that, and we're excited about these teen campers, and we're going to ask God to speak to them this week. And ask God to be with Dr. Shetler, that the Lord will use him in a mighty way. If you'll just gather around here, folks, and this will be our closing prayer. I want to have Preacher Lashley, sir, if you wouldn't mind, to pray for these teenagers. But pray that the Lord will give them safety. And pray that the Lord will be with Dr. Shetler, speak to their hearts. And I want you teenagers, as you go, ask God to speak to you. And come back on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. And a quick reminder for the cancer ministry meeting. And this group here has a meeting with Brother Bob in the blue room. So please do that. Brother Sisson, if you don't mind, I'm going to have you go out to the lobby. Brother Brad, if you'll usher him out for me, please. So he'll be out there for you to greet as you go tonight. Thank you for being here. And Preacher Lassie is going to dismiss us in prayer tonight.
Father, we thank you for this great service tonight. Thank you for Brother Sisson and sending him here. Thank you for his burden and his clarity in preaching the gospel. Thank you for the way you've used him over there in the Philippines. Pray you'd continue to use him. And now, Lord, these precious young people going over there to the Wilds this week, this great man of God, Brother Dr. Shetler, is going to be speaking to them. You've used him in the past. And Lord, I pray that you'd use him in the lives of each one of our young people. May they be drawn closer to thee this week. May they make holy and eternal decisions to live for Christ and be used of him. Fill them with your spirit this week. Touch them. May they come back with lives touched, I pray. Lord, just keep your hand on Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And Lord, fill us with your spirit. We need your spirit as we try to serve you. And fill us with your blessed Holy Spirit. I pray, breathe upon us. Dismiss us with thy blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.